Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
How can Christians engage the culture on topics like science, politics, depression, sexuality, personhood, and more? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Faith That Engages the Culture. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. Faith That Engages the Culture is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Faith That Engages the Culture.
We now have, as president, a professed Catholic who, in his personal piety, seems quite sincere, but who facilitates grave moral evils.
If he can walk away, I can walk away. So abortion is unfortunately the walk away for women who have been abandoned and not treated in the way that God meant for husbands to treat their wives.
Our opinions we should hold very loosely and always be ready to repent of, but the Lord's word we should boast of and be proud of and be sure.
If somebody profaned my name, I would want a bit of vengeance. But the Lord doesn't go that way because that would be contrary to his name.
Washington University in St. Louis students who are quarantined because of the COVID virus love listening to sound Lutheran theology from Issues Etc. while studying German. Ich liebe Probleme und so weiter.
One of our regular guests here on Issues Etc., Dr. Hadley Arkas, has called bills like this the most modest attempt to protect the unborn. And they certainly are. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act is exactly what it sounds like. And it can't pass the U.S. Senate. It required 60 votes. It only got 52. So 48 senators were able to block the passage of this most modest attempt to protect, well, born children in this case. Some have argued that, well, that's already addressed in the law. That's already illegal. Well, it isn't. It isn't illegal to kill a child who survives abortion. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, February the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act and a Los Angeles Times op-ed titled Why We Might Soon See a Surge in Anti-Abortion Violence. Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, will be with us. A little bit later, we'll spend some time with Pastor Larry Peters talking about the devil and the religions of our age. Pastor Sean Denzer, director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joins us after that. We'll discuss teaching God's word at home. He says, keep it simple. And then it's Friday. We're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. In the last half hour of the program, we'll be giving away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote. That's an Ad Crucem Baptism keepsake, the I Have Issues t-shirt, the Issues Etc. pin, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag to the listener with the best vote. You vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MY-IE, sending us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to discuss the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act and Los Angeles op-ed on anti-abortion violence, Carol Tobias. She's president of National Right to Life. Carol, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What was your reaction to yesterday's Senate vote?
I was disappointed, but not surprised. We were asking the senators to consider a bill that would protect unborn children who had survived an abortion, which means basically they're little newborn babies, premature, depending on the age of the child at the time of the abortion. But we think they should be protected. And 48 Democratic senators in the U.S. Senate said no.
Why did it require 60 votes to pass? What kind of procedure was at work here?
This is really some kind of arcane Senate rules. We, of course, have the filibuster so that if someone wants to prevent legislation from coming to the floor for a vote, it takes 60 votes of the 60 senators to override or to call for cloture so that the bill would actually come to the floor for a vote. What the Senate was doing yesterday and throughout the night was a vote on the annual budget reconciliation. And this is something that they set up as well. Anybody can attach anything to it. It's supposed to be budget related, but it wouldn't have to be. But it takes 60 votes to get something included in the budget reconciliation. Once they have settled on what's going to be included in the bill, then it only takes a majority vote. They get one bill a year that is happens under this procedure. So the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act was added to amend it, hoping to get that into the budget reconciliation bill, which would have only taken a majority to pass, but it needed the three-fifths, 60%, 60 votes to actually include it in the bill. So we got 52, which was a majority, but we needed 60 to get it actually included in the bill for final passage.
What would this bill have required?
The bill simply says if a child survives the abortion procedure, the child should receive the same degree of professional care and attention as any other child born prematurely at that same stage. And then once they take care of the baby and do what they can at the facility, the baby should be transported to a hospital for more long-term and extensive care. These are babies who have survived the abortion. They are alive. You could hold them in your arms. And we cannot get 48 Democratic senators in the U.S. Senate to agree that these babies should be helped and cared for.
One argument made yesterday leading up to this vote was made by Illinois Senator Dick Durbin. He referenced Kermit Gosnell, who was convicted in 2013. And he had been convicted in part because of the murder of three newborn babies. And Senator Durbin wanted to argue that the law already protects these children. Is that true?
There is a federal law passed in 2002 by Congress, and it went through the Senate unanimously. There was no one voting against it. And it said unborn children who survive an abortion are to be recognized in federal law as persons. But there were no teeth to it. So the abortionists are just kind of ignoring it. They're not taking care of them. So Senator Durbin is talking about the abortionist Kermit Gosnell, who snipped it was for him probably the easier abortion method. He would deliver the baby alive in the way it would be like a natural birth, but this was supposed to be an abortion. The baby was not supposed to survive. So he would take a scissors and snip the baby in the back of the neck, severing the spinal column, and then the baby would, of course, die. Senator Durbin is trying to say that Gosnell was convicted because he killed these babies. Well, that was just part of it. They actually went into his abortion facility because he was illegally selling narcotics. This just happened to be something that they caught on the side. The medical community, the abortion community, health inspectors in Pennsylvania knew what was happening, and they did nothing about it. This just happened to be something on the side, but he was certainly, you know, there are records indicating that he had probably done this to hundreds of babies throughout his career.
I'd also like to get your response to an LA Times op-ed that recently appeared titled, "Why We Might Soon See a Surge in Anti-Abortion Violence." What is your response to the argument that essentially the time is ripe for those who oppose abortion and want to protect the unborn to go violent?
The pro-life movement is a peaceful movement. We want to work through the law, through education. We want to, you know, convince and encourage more people to become pro-life, to become voices for unborn children. Abortion is the violent act. An unborn child's life is being ended, whether that be through suction abortion or having the arms and legs pulled off in a dismemberment abortion so the baby bleeds to death. The chemical abortion pill, which starves the embryo of any nutrition in the uterus. Abortion is the violent act. We are a movement that wants to use legal, peaceful means to save those babies. What we are starting to see, though, is that the pro-life movement is being attacked and painted with the broad brush that we are violent, we are racist, we are extremist. And it's all basically a PR effort trying to get us to sit down and shut up. And it's just not going to happen because we are going to continue to do what we can to protect the babies. But we, I mean, as a pro-life movement as a whole, has come out strongly condemning violence, whether it is an attack on an abortion facility, putting the staff in danger. There have been staff members that have been killed. But whenever the person that is, you know, that commits the crime is found, he will be put out in the news as a member of the anti-abortion movement or an anti-abortion advocate. And everybody else in the pro-life movement is saying, we've never heard of this guy. So they are trying to paint us as the violent people, but we are not, and we're not going to let them succeed in doing that.
You have said this: those who commit acts of violence against those involved in the abortion industry are not pro-life, nor do they represent the pro-life movement. What do you mean by that, Carol?
Pro-life people are peaceful people. I mean, if I'm going to sit in a room with anybody, I would love to have, you know, spend any time with them. I want them to be pro-life people because we are happy and loving and cheerful and generous and caring. The violence that is done in the abortion industry and anybody who wrongly attacks the individuals that are involved, that's not the pro-life movement. That's not who we are. We are a movement of love. We care for people. We love people. We want to take care of them. And we will condemn anyone that uses violence to try to attack or harm even those involved in the industry. God's going to take care of them. That's not our responsibility. We need to do everything we can to help the mothers and to take care of the babies and promote life in as many ways as we can without resorting to violence.
Finally, with the minute here, were you surprised that you were not contacted by the author of the op-ed in the Los Angeles Times for your response to many of the other people quoted in that op-ed?
Not really. I mean, they referenced an article from us where we have for years condemned violence, but they aren't really interested in presenting both sides of this case. There is a concerted effort to paint pro-lifers, conservatives, probably Christians will soon be included if they aren't already, as violent extremist racists. And they're not interested in putting forth both sides. So, no, I was not surprised that we were not contacted.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life. You'll find a link to National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Carol, thank you very much for your time.
Oh, I'm happy to do it.
Pastor Larry Peters joins us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with him about the devil and all the devil's religions. We usually think about the devil being against religion. Well, he isn't. He has a lot of religions at his disposal, and we'll discuss them next. To fight through pain, to get a taste of love. You can call it what you like, I call it life, I call it life. I prayed for things nobody. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This is Monica Shannon, Life Coordinator for the Southern Illinois District Advocates for Life. We invite you to join your brothers and sisters in Christ for a peaceful, life-affirming prayer vigil from 10 to 11, Saturday morning, March 20th, at Planned Parenthood in Fairview Heights, Illinois. For more information, visit sidadvocatesforlife.com, sidadvocatesforlife.com.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant.
Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Our Christian faith is under constant attack, and we must be proactive in keeping our children in the church. At Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, we believe that an education rooted in God's Word is one that stands against the very gates of hell. Nothing in this world is more important. Offering a rigorous classical Lutheran education, we provide in-person and live online remote learning opportunities for preschool through grade 12. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.